constantly applying the level of surrender. It's not that just one day you have to try anymore. It's just you learn that you have to try, or you learn how to appreciate trying, and then it happens. So until that point, lovely, lovely material world, I'm going to read the verse again and then kind of bring it back to context. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the supreme soul, the imperishable Lord himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. Oh, good, I didn't stray. So Krishna has created this world, and he's come in as the Paramatma to maintain it and to guide us out of it. And he's always there. They say the biggest journey in life is a journey of about 10 inches, which is from your mind to your soul. This is the distance we're traveling. Because Paramatma is here. He's in the soul. And we're so much in our head and so much everywhere else. But he's just sitting there, like the bird in the tree, you know, just sitting there waiting. And that's actually what it is, and that's kind of where it gets scary, because you're just like, wow, I'm just that oblivious to God. And he's just sitting there knocking on my door the whole time, and I'm just sleeping in. Questions, comments, discussion?
Did you say your mind to your soul?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know where the example comes from. I don't know if it's Krishna conscious or Christian or... Sorry?
Your soul.
Well, there's Paramatma soul, I mean, or just realizing yourself. I mean, the point is we're so much... In our world, yet Krishna is just sitting there. It's not like he's in some distant place. Like we always think Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's there. So we've got to figure out how to climb over, you know, 14 planetary systems and, you know, eight levels of 10 times 10 coverings. But essentially, he's there in our heart. So we can take the shortcut. He's right there. But
the soul is in the heart.
The soul is in the heart, and the super soul. Well, I mean, from your head, you know, because this is where you kind of, in Western, they always talk about the people think they're here, you know. But yeah, I mean, the point is that it's in one sense a very small journey, but in another sense, there's something more to it. Otherwise, you know, it's everyone would do it. It's kind of like you see these get-rich-quick schemes, and there's a little bit more to it. Otherwise, everyone would be rich. Probably the first essential point is that you can't all be rich because there's not enough money to go around. But, well, this isn't the case. But the point is, it's a simple process, but there's some more to it. It's not just, it's like, oh, Jeev Jaga Hari Ball, you know, magic potions and stuff. It's a serious deal. Anyway. But yeah, it is essentially just looking at Krishna there in the heart. At the same time. Yes?
So, besides these two, there is the Kalabha and the Infallible. There's the great sleeping personality. And this verse is describing our relationship with Krishna. So this chapter is called Yoga with the Supreme, our connection with the Supreme. And this verse is describing that he's the maintainer, Vibhati.
Acha. Oh, yes, Vibhati.
Yes,
Purija.
So this is describing the Sambandha.
And was before Sambandha. Oh, yeah, so Sambandha starts here, yeah, and then Abhidaya comes in. And then Prajna.
So we're not independent, we're totally dependent on Krishna, and he's the maintainer. So it's Nicha, not Nicha, 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 Nicha,
Nicha,
that's, he's the one who's maintaining the
journey. Yeah, I used to know it. It's a cute little verse.
Two.
Yeah, I remember it from there.
So we think that we're somewhat dependent, and we're not, we're being maintained.
We're like little kids in a playground. Thank you for that, Marcus.
Jesus spoke about this 10 inches trip.
I'm starting the biggest. Okay, oh, you want to add to that?
I think I'm just trying to say we're always thinking in the world with our minds, but if we listen to our super soul, we can guide us.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's the point. I think he wants to know how the heck do we do that as well. Yeah, well, that's what it is. Essentially, we're thinking in this world as the controller of this world or the enjoyer. And this whole thing is coming up in my mind always now, because that's the reason why we're here. And that's when we realize that and get out of that, that's how we get out, as far as I know. You know, and of course, as that's the philosophical aspect, and then also wanting to have a relationship with Krishna, which is also part of that. So supreme control and supreme enjoy is Krishna. If you want to be enjoyed and controlled by Krishna, you'll get out of here. If you don't, you're still here. That's how simple it is. How complicated we make that is up to us. And everyone is individual in how complicated we make that.
Prabhupada's giving a tip. He says a wise man who can understand the Paramatma is the one that gets the perfect peace. Actually, you can talk to him. You can talk to the Paramatma. You can say, hello, you go up over there, then you can ask what you want to ask.
He does speak. Well, sometimes you hear this voice.
You can do more formal if you want.
Oh, Lord. I found a nice verse, because sometimes I'm like, you know, you get advice. You know, sometimes you feel the universe tells you something, and you really like, it's like, it didn't come from me, it came from somewhere else. And then I was like, is that Paramatma? I was like, no, it's probably a demigod. You know, realistically. I'm like, let's... But then I read this statement, and Prabhupada says, the demigods are the agents of the Supersoul, meaning like, by hook or by crook, the Supersoul gets to you. You know, like, you get a guru to hear from the Supersoul, because you just won't listen.
Do you have any personal examples that the Supersoul says something to you?
I knew a couple, but I have a few when I can look back and I was really like, whoa. But I do have a few instances where I nearly stepped into my death and for some reason I didn't. And it was really just like, because I used to work on high voltages at heights, which is basically asking to get killed, yet you don't. But, you know, I had a couple incidences in life where a lady nearly ran me down with a car and I nearly fell off a tall structure because my harness wasn't hooked up. And just, I didn't do the ordinary thing, and I had just like a strangest inkling. And or just like my body just didn't do what it, yeah, I just like didn't take a step. I'm walking somewhere and I just didn't step. It's like, you don't just stop, you know what I mean? And okay, I could have got all scientific about it and it was some subtle, you know, metaphysical, monstrous chemical reaction of my mind because it's somehow new by my fifth, sixth sense. But no, it's Paramatma. And then I've had a few times where I'm just like, why is it like this? And you know when you're just kind of lamenting for the sake of lamenting? And then the solution comes, and then you kind of, your false ego is a little bit crushed because you're like, oh, I can't complain anymore, I just got the answer. But it's like, oh, that's why. And it just comes. It's like, as if it was like that simple. But it doesn't come until you ask for it, you know? Oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, then all at the same time, I'm asking Paramatma, why am I suffering, and help me enjoy. We're always like, we're more focused on not suffering than serving Krishna, really, most of the time. But yeah, another point on this supreme control and supreme enjoyer, you'll find that all your frustrations in life come from you trying to enjoy and control and it not working. And look at it. So you're trying to enjoy, when you're not enjoying, you're suffering. It's ultimately because you're expecting to enjoy. You know, when you get sick, it only becomes less of a deal when you just relax about it and admit that you're sick and just, rest. But when you try to still have fun, it doesn't work,
Trying to enjoy and trying to control.
Yeah, really. I mean, when someone... Why does someone disturb you? Because they either affect your enjoyment or they do something that you didn't want them to do. Like, no, I wanted you to do this, not that, this. What's wrong with you? And it's like, oh, because I want to control this person or enjoy that person, and then it doesn't work. Otherwise, people wouldn't frustrate us. If you don't try to control or enjoy anyone, they never cause you problems. That's, you know, people say in relationships you have no expectations. That's what it means. You're not really trying to control them and enjoy them. You're just going to let them be who they are and be pleased with that.
But sometimes, supposing you're in a situation, you want to control your environment. You want to say light, or it's night, you want it dark, or you want it quiet, and then the neighbor, or you
wouldn't
be. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
The dog's bark, or they put the light on when you want it dark, or...
Yeah, and it's just, it, and this world is perfectly imperfect like that. It's just mechanized so that you just get that. You just have that perfect arrangement to understand that you're not in control and you're not going to enjoy sometimes. I mean, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's really the crux of it. You know, if we want to be enjoyed by Krishna and controlled by Krishna, then our life becomes perfect. It works out no matter where we are, because that's what life's about. Sorry?
Then what do you do? Suppose you want it to dark and then the light goes on, or you want it quiet and the day goes dark. So what do you do? Just suffer?
Well, you see that the living... you see that the devotees have a... the pure devotees, at least, they have the realization of what to tolerate and what not to tolerate. I mean, like, you see the battle of Kurukshetra is... I mean, you see Yudhishthira is trying to tolerate it the whole time, but ultimately the war was because of righteousness. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, you see that Yudhishthira was not really much better at managing the kingdom than Duryodhana was, but Yudhishthira was the righteous and rightful heir. So it's like, but he was tolerating, but they were all tolerating to the point where it's like, okay, now this has to be something done. You know, okay, it's not just affecting me, it's affecting something else. Or I take the annoyance level, it's like, when it gets to the point that you're going to be offending them in your mind, then it's, you're not, you know, you're still harming them in one way or another. So you have to pick which is more disturbing. You ask them to please be quiet, or you hate them bitterly and wish them to die. You pick which one is less harmful in your mind, you know. Yeah, I mean, if you start to see that that's slipping, then either you've got to amp up your tolerance level, or you've got to be more. You've got to go and deal with it. Or you know, like when I was a kid, there was one boy in Gurukul who used to threaten to beat everyone, and I told him that, you know, we're all friends, let's all just tell him you can't do that as a group, because one, we could probably beat up half of us in the playground, but only one on one. So point was, it was getting to the point that it was affecting other people, and you know, it wasn't just one person, it's not just you. If also, you know, you don't have to worry about yourself, you have to worry about the devotees. So, you know, that's what they say, you know, you're like a Trinada Pichin Ichino, but when someone's insulting your guru, you either kill them, cut their tongue out, or commit suicide. Okay, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki.
For 20%.